Blog Talk Radio.
Gate. For the simple
possible reason that they will be believing a lie. And you cannot enter in a lie. The Most High just doesn't work that way. So I pray that you are ready to eat from the Word of God on this evening, the Word of the Most High, the Word of Elohim. And we are going to go ahead and proceed with this teaching. To my sisters that are in the classroom, if you will bring up your Bible, no matter of fact, maybe I will, because we don't have anybody called in on the other line right now. If they call in, then they'll just have to listen, which is always the case. I'm going to share my screen on this lesson on this evening so that we can actually see what is actually written and why I love the tool that I gave you so that you could actually do this for yourself. But I'm going to show it to you because it is a massive deception, okay? And it's the little things. It's the little things that cause people to stumble and fall or to never come into truth, okay? And so we want to make sure that we see this. So we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. And we're going to pray in. And then we're going to walk through this, okay? So let me cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads if you're listening online. We want to greet those who are in the United States, who are in South America, who are in the African continent, who are in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, and the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus of Christ in the English. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and to keep His commandments. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on this evening. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We just glorify you, O Yah Elohim, and we lift you up, Father, and we magnify your name. And we extol you, Father, for you are worthy of our praise, Father, and you're worthy of our worship, Father. And we just come together on this evening, Father, to worship you and to praise you and to learn in your word, Father, that we might not walk falsely before you, that we might not be deceived, Father, by what has been written and what the enemy is doing. Hallelujah. And we just wait for your day, Father, when you come back and you set things in order. That you set things in order. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Hallelujah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. And our scripture on this evening, I really just want to get the crux. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter at the end of the day. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar.
Oh, I just say, as we say, my heart sings, sing on, my heart sings. Come on, would you lift up your voice?
That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know it? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his surely supply. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the coral, the necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meager. I wonder if you know him. Well, this is my king. He's a key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Yeah! 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 That's my king.
All right. Amen, 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 amen. You will go to your screen sharing in the classroom, then you should be able to see my Bible. And if you would let me know if you're able to see that. Okay, your mic is kind of low. Let me see if I can raise the volume. Go ahead, Sister Denise. Okay. Wonder where my, what's going on with my speaker here. Hold on a second. Okay, say something again. Let me make sure I can hear you guys. What's going on with my speaker here? You guys can probably hear each other. I can barely hear you. Hold on a minute. But I got this speaker on. Let me plug it up, make sure it's got enough power. One of these USB speakers. Okay, and that's plugged in. Okay, that's powering now. Say one more thing. Okay. Yeah, I don't know where that, I don't know where the sound is coming from. Oh, I think it's coming from, let me just put on this headset. I think that's where it's coming from. Somebody's not picking up my external speakers. Now say something. Yeah, I can, it's coming through my headset and not actually through my external speaker. That's okay, I just put that on. All right, so you can see the Bible that's on my screen? Okay, amen. All right, I'm going to show you guys here for this lesson. What is actually in the scripture? Okay, so we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 20, I'm sorry. And we're going to deal with some verses here because this is where this first day of the week as being the day of worship is coming from, okay? Let's drop down to verse, let's start in verse 5. So let's go ahead and go to verse 7. Okay. And upon the first day of the week. You guys see that in that scripture. Okay. First is there. But in the original, I'm going to go to the Young's Literal. Okay. And it's what you can do in your Bible as well. But in the Young's Literal, and upon the first, do you see day there? And you'd have to have your mic on so I could hear you. You said you don't see day though, right? Upon the first of the week, okay? Now let's go back to the KJV. And they have inserted the day, the word day there, right? Okay. Now what I'm going to do is go into the Greek on this, because this is a, you know, the New Testament is written in Greek. They have the day, the first day there, but you notice there's no word for day up under the. Okay, so that means that that word was not actually there. Okay, it's inserted to try to give clarity. All right, but what I want you to look at is of the week, related of the week. Let me show you what word that is. Look down at the bottom left end of my screen. What word is that? Okay, are you not able to see the bottom of my screen? Really? How far can you see? Yeah, go ahead and make that screen, the screen sharing, you know, just hit the, and make it your whole screen so you can see my whole screen. And if you're not able to do that, then bring it up on your computer. Okay, let me let Sister Mary get along with us. Okay, you see down at the bottom left, the Strong Greek Dictionary. Okay, and when you click on that word of the week, then what word comes up? Sabbaton, which means Sabbath in the Greek, okay? And on the first of the Sabbath, when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, is the Sabbath the first day of the week? Okay, so you see when they inserted that word day there, how it changed the scripture? On the first of the Sabbath, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. So Paul won't depart on the Sabbath. He's going to depart on what? Tomorrow? Okay. Which would be Sunday, the first day of the week, right? If this is talking about the Sabbath, then he has to be departing on, because he wouldn't travel on the Sabbath. Okay. And he continued his speech until what? Till midnight. So he's talking on the Sabbath, and he's speaking to them until midnight. But he's going to leave when? Tomorrow. You understand that? Okay. So upon the first day of the week is not there. It's upon the first of the Sabbath. When would the first of the Sabbath be? Right. Friday evening. So he's coming together with them on the Sabbath day, and he is teaching them. And he's speaking with them. Okay. Now, the church interprets this as Sunday. But Sunday is not there. What's actually there in the Greek is the, what? Sabbath. Okay. So let's drop down to verse 19. Serving Yah with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations would prevail, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now, in this verse, he's saying that he's waiting and he's afraid to leave. Okay. Because who's waiting on him? The Jews. They want to kill him. Okay, so Paul is speaking, and he's speaking till midnight. But that same day, the next day on tomorrow, in the evening, he's going to be, because in the evening, what would have happened? The day would have changed. It would no longer be what? The Sabbath. But who's waiting on him? The Jews, to kill him. Okay, let's do John chapter 20. The book of John chapter 20. And we're going to look at the same thing again. The first, do we have a word there for day? And what word is of the week? The first of what? Sabbath. Mm-mm. The first is not, it's said of the week in English, but what is the Greek word that's actually there? You got this word highlighted? Sabbaton. Which, when we look at the bottom of my screen, the original what? The Sabbath. So, they said the first day of the week, but it was the first of the what? Cometh Mary Magdalene, early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So, we're told that Messiah came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath, right? But this is not saying that. So, then we have to reconcile. Because this is saying at the first of the Sabbath cometh Mary Magdalene early. So this word of the week that they say on the Sabbath, but actually, this thing at the first of the Sabbath, at the beginning of the Sabbath, right? Okay, she's coming to the tomb and he's not there. That can present some problems in our understanding of the scripture. But this word of the week can actually, this word Sabbaton can also actually be translated as week. But what we don't see there, we don't see a what? Word for day? Now, so when I'm going to bring this up again. And if you look at the bottom, let's look at what this word can mean. Hebrew origin, the Sabbath, right? That's it. That's one that this word can mean. The Shabbat, or day of the what? Repose. Mm-hmm. Repose. That means like your rest. Secular avocations, like from secular work. Also the observance of the institution itself. By extension, seeing night, I don't know what that means. In essence, the interval between two Sabbaths. So that the interval between two Sabbaths would be a what? Week? Likewise, the plural in all the above applications. So this could be the Sabbath day, or it could be a week. Now, we got other verses that said when Messiah came out of the tomb. So the verses have to what, agree? So let's see. Let's do a search. 28. If you go to Matthew 28 and verse 1, in the end of the what? So when we look at this in the, we don't have a day, we don't have the word day there, right? But we do have in the end of, and we have what? Sabbath. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. When would the first day of the week start? At sundown? Right, at dawn. So when the sun is going down at evening, as it began to dawn, the beginning of the first day of the week, that would have been in the evening, because we do from the evening to what? Evening? But in the English, you might read that as the sun coming up. Because it says what? We call dawn when the sun comes up. Okay. But this was at the end of the Sabbath. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. The only way you're going to be able to really understand that word, where they're using dawn at, is that our evening is dawn. That's when our day begins. Before, according to what? Scripture? Okay. So as it began to turn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the end of the Sabbath. It's getting ready to turn dark. You know, there's some brave women, because I wouldn't be in no graveyard at night, but okay, that's me. So they're coming to check out the tomb at the end of the Sabbath, okay? Messiah's not there. So when did he get up? He got up on the seventh day. He was actually there all through the Sabbath. But by the time the Sabbath is starting to end, they're coming. He has already gotten up. But he waited till the Sabbath is, you know, to the end of the Sabbath. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of Yah descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Yeshua, which was crucified. Not what? He is risen. Don't tell us exactly when. We know that when they come at the end of the Sabbath, he ain't there. We don't know when he came out of the tomb. We just know that at the end of the Sabbath, when they came to check, he wasn't what? Okay. And he said, come see the place where the Lord or Yeshua lay. And go up quickly and tell his disciples. So the Most High knows when his Sabbath ends. They waited for the time. He came out exactly at the time. They're coming a little bit after. But when the work was done, he was gone. So I don't believe that he would have, what, broken Sabbath? But as soon as it was over, I'm out of here. They come and don't find him there. They're coming at the end of the Sabbath. Do you think that they would have started traveling before the Sabbath was actually over? No. So when it was actually over, he was gone. They got there and found an empty tomb. Now, did it say that he rose on the Sabbath? Does it say he rose at the end of the Sabbath? Does it say that? Didn't say that. Right. He was, matter of fact, it did tell us he was already what? He's already gone. So could he have risen on the first day of the week? Okay, so when they say that the first day of the week is the Lord day because that's when he rose, is that a lie? It's a lie. Okay, it's a twisting of the script to set forth their own agenda. It's, you know, trying to show us what's actually really there. Okay, because this is the doctrine that he's talking about. So if they say that the first day of the week is the Lord's day, because he came out of the tomb, at that time. And that's a lie. And people believe it, so they worship on that day. Can you see how he can say the doctrine of men? And how that they are worshiping him falsely. Okay. So we see this word sabbaton. We see that there is the word first. We see that the word first is in those scriptures, but the word day is not there. And the day that's actually there is what? Sabbath. Now, you got to know that other people can see this just like we can, right? So why do you think that they want to stick to that he came out of the tomb on the first day of the week? That's what they're teaching, and they're not going to go check. And if they do go check, they don't want to be like us. Okay. Now, they are listening to all these doctrines. And I think I looked this up because I wanted to see. Oh, let me see if I can find this. I looked it up to see exactly what the Catholic Church teaches. And why all these Protestant churches still believe in the first day of the week. Hold on, let me see if I can find that. People hold to these things. But when you actually look at what's really there, it doesn't hold water. Hold on. Okay, I'm just going to look this up again because I think I set it down. Let's see. Open another window. I wasn't trying to set it down. Maybe I did, though. So I'm just going to look it up again. I'll share that with you guys. Come up. Okay, I'm going to drag this over. Let me know if you're able to see this web page. See the web page about the Lord's Day? Not on your screen? I wonder. Okay, hold on. I'm going to reshare. Sharing window. Go ahead and restart looking at your screen sharing. You should be able to see it now. Okay. And you got a sister Denise? Okay. All right. The Lord's Day in Christianity is generally Sunday, the principal day of communal worship. It is observed by most Christians as the weekly memorial of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who said in the canonical gospel to have been witnessed alive from the dead early on the first day of the week. Is that what the scripture said? You know, that's when people saw him was on the first day of the week. Did it say that that's when he rose? That when Mary and them came to the tomb at the end of the Sabbath, he was what? He was gone. So the phrase, they only appears one place in the Bible. That's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. That's the only place you're going to find the Lord's Day, okay? So I'm going to bring, I don't know if you looked it up in your Bible before when I said it last night, but or this morning, but this is the only place that you find is actual the Lord's Day. So let me see if I minimize this. Did the Bible come back up? Okay, I'm going to have to stop sharing and reshare again. Pause sharing, start sharing. Sharing again, then you should see the Bible. You see me? Me as a person, me? A picture of me. Okay, why is it not showing that screen? I picked the screen for the Bible. Let me stop. Start sharing. Window. Sit right there. Share. Okay, see now. Close that down on your end and reopen up screen sharing. Feel me? Interesting. Why is it doing that? Stop sharing. Pause sharing. Start sharing. Window. Selecting the Bible. Share. Connection we just has been established. Okay, so if you close down screen share and open it back up, you should see the Bible. Still showing me, then I don't know what's going on. Interesting. Okay. Bring up your Bible then. And I want you to do a search. Okay. So up at the top of your screen you see file and edit and you see search. Say, what do you want to search? Say, search the Bible. And it should bring up a screen for you to type in something to search for, okay? And make sure Sister Mary's with us, too. Top left-hand corner of your screen of the program. Just click on search, and if I say search what? Search the Bible. That should bring up a screen that says search Bible text. Okay. All right. In down below that, you see where it says search text. Under normal search, it says search text. And it gives a window that you can type in. Okay, type in there, Lord, with an apostrophe S day. And then down at the bottom, you see where it says search range. It says, you know, like Matthew through all for Matthew through Revelation. Click all. Because I wanted to search the entire Bible, okay? And see how many times we find the Lord's day. Oh, we got to also say, find a verse with the exact phrase. Because if not, it'll split it up like Lord and day. So up there where it says search method. And you can say find verse with all of the words specified, find verse with any of the words specified, or find verse with the what? With the exact phrase, right? So we wanted to find Lord's Day. And we can actually go back and say what, the Lord's Day? We want to find that exactly. So go ahead and add the in front of Lord. The Lord's Day. We want to see how many times we find that in the same. Right. You got to actually type in the, because we're looking for the exact frame. Yeah. Go back and click in front of that and just type the in front of Lord. So when you have it, let me know. You have the Lord's Day in there. All right, so, and then we're going to come down the search range. We want to say all. We want to search all the books. Okay, and then, yeah, all you got, it says search range. It says all. Search the Old Testament. Search the New Testament. You just want to click on all. Okay, now click on the button that says do search. And mine said it couldn't find anything. Okay, so yours found it. Mine said it couldn't find it. So I had everything in there right. Yeah. Don't, I had day capitalized. Don't capitalize day. And that would be for probably Sister Denise. Type in, you know, the L for Lord is capitalized, but the day is not. So the Lord's Day, it only comes up with, now if you look in there, it shows you one verse in there, right? Okay, if you look up under that little window, it says one match in what? In one verse. Okay, so that's the only place that this actual wording is in the whole Bible. One verse, the Lord's Day. Now, there's a problem with that, because are we supposed to use one verse to establish a doctrine? No. We got to, the scriptures have to, what, line up? Now, what is John talking about in Revelation chapter 1? It tells you that he's given a testimony and a witness of who Messiah is. And the whole book is about the day of judgment, okay? So let's go back. Let's go to Revelation 1 and 1. So if you click on that verse, if you click on, like, where it says Revelation 1:10 in that search window, it'll bring it up in your Bible over to the right. It'll take you to that verse. Yeah, no, all you got to do is just... click on, and where it brought up the result, click on, it says RE110, Revelations 1 and 10. Click on RE110, and it'll bring it up in the Bible over on the, or, well, that depends on how you got your Bible set up, but my Bible is set up in the right side window. Okay, but you see it took you right to that verse, right? Okay, but I want you to just scroll back up to verse 1. So you can scroll up in that window because you're in that book. So you should be able to scroll in that window that it brought it up, and you're back at verse 1. Yeah, it makes this a summary. Okay, so we're just going to start reading right there because this is what this book is about, okay? The revelation or the revealing of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, which Elohim gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must what? And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of Elohim, and of the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and that hear the words of the prophet. So this whole book is a what? A prophecy, something that's going to happen, okay? And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at what? At hand, okay? John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of who? The first fruit, okay? From the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, the scriptures will tell us that God washed us in his what? Blood? Paid for the church with his blood? Now, the thing here that I love about this book, this is a revelation of who Messiah is, temple and priest unto Elohim and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and the clouds are angels. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, in your book, it shows you that the next words are in what? Red? Which means that these are the words of who? Of Messiah himself. But it says, the Lord. So who is Messiah? He is, according to the Bible, he is the Lord. See how it's spelled, capital L-O-R-D? Okay, if you let's go to the, at the top of your Bible, you see that you're in the KJV version, right? Sister Mary. Okay, if you kicked on the next one, that KJVSL, click that, and it's going to change to the Greek. Okay, if you go back down to that same verse that we were in, verse 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. What is it, that word that they're translating as Lord? The hero. Supreme, what does it mean? If you put your mouse over it, it says supreme, supremacy, right? Supreme in authority. Master as a respectable title. And then it goes out to the right and says who? God, Lord, Master. Okay. Sir. So it's a title. Okay. This is a title that is used for Messiah, the Lord. Now, I tell you that I didn't like using that word for what the reasons I gave. But it really means Elohim. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the what? Say Yah, which is and which was and which is to what? To come. But it tells you, gives you another title there. What's the last title that he has in that sentence? The Almighty. This is Messiah talking, saying that I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I am the who? I am the Almighty. How many Almighties do we have? One. There's only one Almighty. So if Messiah is saying that he's the Almighty, Messiah is saying that he's Elohim. Okay, now, John is saying, let's read verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in what? Tribulation? And in the kingdom of and the patience of Yeshua HaMashiach, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of Elohim, for the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach, on what day? I was in the spirit on what day? Okay, that's the only place in the scripture we find that nomenclature. What would John have understood is the Lord's day? The Sabbath. Is that not the day that the Most High says in the fourth commandment to remember? To remember him and to honor him? So when we looked at the first day of the week, we saw that in the scripture, there was no word day there. It was at the first of the what? Of the Sabbath. That's what's actually in the scripture. But they have translated it into the English as the first day of the week, which the Christian church understands the first day of the week to be Sunday. So they get Sunday worship from that. But in the original text, the word day is not there, and it's at the first of the Sabbath. Okay. Now, when we look at the other verse, and it says, at the end of the Sabbath, Messiah came. At the end of the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they came to the tomb, and it was at the end of the Sabbath, and Messiah was what? He was gone. He was not there. So they have taken Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, and they have made a what? Doctrine out of it. That is contrary to what's actually in the scripture. So they want to separate themselves from the quote-unquote Jewish community or the Hebrew community. We don't want to be like them. So we got to make this the first of the week. But the scriptures actually, and they translated the first day of the week, but that's not really what's in the what? Scripture? In the scripture, actually says the first of the Sabbath. Okay. Now, so we see here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, that's the only place you're going to find this wording, the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day, everywhere else in the scripture, is actually translated as the day of the Lord. Okay? There's a different nomenclature. So we're going to do a search in our Bible. Okay? Just like we just did. No worries. Somebody trying to tell on you? Day of the Lord. I want you to type that in. Day of the Lord. We're going back to the search window. So open up your, you know, go back, close that search that we just did. Go back to the top of your screen. Top left, file, edit, search. And type in their day of the Lord. And we want to, you know, search the Bible, and we want to search all books, okay? And then we want to do the search. And we should come up with about 31 matches. You didn't type in the new search information in that window up top. Yeah, do search, and then search the Bible. That brings up that window, and see where it says search text. You still got the day of the Lord in there. So type in there. You still got the day of the. You still got the Lord's day. Type in there the day of the Lord. Or day of the Lord, okay? Because the Lord's day and the day of the Lord are actually, there's two different search, it can mean two different things, right? If by your understanding, if it says the Lord's day and they have, and the church has signified that as being the Sunday, and then we have the day of the Lord, right? We want to say five verses with exact phrase. So you're typing in day of the Lord. Right. It'll bring up about 31 matches. Look right up under that, Sister Mary, in white text. It'll tell you how many times it found it. Okay, now I'm up. Yeah. Right. That means that you have to type it close to it as well. Because if we look at Isaiah 2 and 12, is Lord spelled capital L-O-R-D? In Isaiah 2 and 12, it is. No, and the search method, just say find verses with the exact phrase specified. Click all. You click down at the bottom, the range, click all. So it searches all books. And then click on do search. Okay, what are you not spelling right? Okay, I'm going to put that in my search engine, and I'm going to search it and see what's coming up for me there. Okay, it still found it. So, Lord, a capital L, lowercase O-R-D. See if it finds it then. Okay, and if you're listening online, what we are doing is showing that in the scriptures, the phrase that they use, the day of the Lord's day, is only in the scripture one time, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. And it is used only one time in the scriptures, and we know that too. And so if we find a single verse that says something, we must check it with other scriptures. The Lord's Day is only in the scripture one time in Revelation 1 and 10. But it is what it's talking about. John in Revelation is talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about the prophecy of the day of the Lord, when Messiah is going to come back and what's going to happen in the world. Okay. But it's worded the day of the Lord, and the church has taken that phrase and used it to develop their own doctrine. Their own doctrine as, you know, the first day of the week. But we also went to different books in the scripture to find out that, first of all, the day, the first day of the week is not in the scripture. It's the first of the Sabbath. But the English has added the day, first day of the week. It says, but day is not there in the original. Day is not there in the literal translation. And when you look at the Greek, we have a Bible that shows us the English and the Greek. Day, there is no word for day there. It means that day was added. And if we did use, if the day was, there was a first day of Sabbath then. The first of the Sabbath. So the doctrine of the Lord's day is really a man-made doctrine by the early church, from the Roman Catholic Church, because they said they changed the day of worship, and they did it by also adding this translation or the day, the word day, into the English translation. So, Sister Denise, you still have a problem bringing up the day of the Lord? Okay, now yours is saying the same thing as mine. Sister Mary said hers, so. I don't know. Right, so let's see what verse they're missing, okay? 10 and 9, Isaiah 34 and 8, and I'm just scrolling down, okay, reading those off. Jeremiah 46 and 10, Lamentations 2 and 22, Ezekiel 13 and 5, Ezekiel 30 and 3, Joel 1, 15, Joel 2, 1, Joel 2, 11, Joel 3, 14, Amos 5 and 18, Amos 5 and 20, Obadiah 15, Zephaniah 1 and 7, Zephaniah 1 and 8, Zephaniah 1 and 14, Zephaniah 1 and 18, Zephaniah 2 and 2, Zephaniah 2 and 3, Zechariah 14 and 1, 1 Corinthians 5 and 5, 2 Corinthians 1 and 14, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12, 2 Peter 3 and 10. So know, you, if yours got all that list, then I don't know why it's saying 1 in 26. So there's actually 27 matches in 26 verses. So the day of the Lord is twice in one verse, okay? Okay, don't be tricking us. At the top, it's showing one of 26. I see where you were reading that. Below that, it tells, yeah. At the bottom, it says 27 and 26 verses. Okay. So, yeah, we're on the same page. Now, this is what John is talking about. The day of who? Yeah. That's what the whole book of Revelation is about. It's not about distinguishing Sunday, the first day of the week, over what the Sabbath is done. And it is a false doctrine. It is a doctrine of who? Men. And then Messiah said, you for your tradition, you follow the doctrines of who? Men. This is one of those doctrines that we have to be very afraid of, because if we follow it, then we're going to follow down the same path they're going down. This does not line up with the word of the Most High. It's a misinterpretation of the what? Scripture. Okay. So let's keep going. So we looked at Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and we see that there, when it says the first day is not there, and the word of the week, that phrase of the week is actually the word what? Sabbath? Okay. No, we don't have to go there now. We're going to move on because we already looked at it and saw it. So I'm just going to move on in this. Let's see. Let's go to Acts. You can go to Acts in your book. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. And we're going to go down to verse 19. And we're going to read that. We're going to read that verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 19. No, I'm sorry, I said Acts. Go to John. Wrong book, John. The book of John, chapter 20, verse 19. And let me see if I can get my external speaker to come on, so those that are listening in the room can hear what's being said, that are listening in Blog Talk. Right now, they're only hearing me. Okay, hold on. What's going on? The computer's not recognizing my external speaker. Hold on. I do. As long as one of us do, we okay. Okay. Let me restart the speaker. And I'm not hearing that speaker kick in, being recognized. There, just unplug this. I think what it is my computer has forgotten this speaker. Right. It's a great program. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. How'd you lose all your stuff? Okay. Well, I'm trying to bring up the speaker again. I'm trying to let my machine reconcile and find the speaker. Okay, hold on. See if it recognizes or... Okay, hold on, I have to find this Bluetooth device. I have this coming out of the speaker so those that are listening online can hear it. Let's see. Bluetooth. When it works. Yeah, when it don't work. Okay. Yeah, but I corrected that. Gotta keep up now. Yeah, I don't know why this is not recognizing. I think my speaker is turned off. Clearly on. Let me turn it off. Okay, let me remove it then. John 20:19. Interesting. Okay, now if you change that to the King James Version, the Greek translation in it, at the top, Sister Mary, where it says KJV and KJVSL, click on KJVSL. That'll put up the Greek along with the English. The word day is not there, though. Yeah, there's nothing up under day. In John 20:19? Oh. Yeah, but that's okay. That's the same day at evening. Go over to the first day. Right. So that should have the word that you were looking at for day up under the same day. That word Himara is actually how it's pronounced. Himara. But you don't find that word being the first day of the week. You don't find Himara up under day there. So day was what added. And what is after that? The first of the what? Week? Since day was added. But the translation of the week is what word? Sabbath. Okay. So that is what is saying again, being the first of the Sabbath. could be actually translated the first of the what, wheat, for real? Or it could be translated the first of the Sabbath. And so how do we get the context in? Too much quietness. Okay. You get the context by reading the rest of the verses before and after. What is being talked about? So we know that Mary Magdalene, she went to the tomb and Matthew's, and what did it say? It was at the end of the what? That's not what it said. Go to Matthew's 1 and 18. Matthew's 1 and 18 or 28 and 1. I think it's 28 and 1. Yes, so it's Matthew 28 and 1, right? When we go back to John, John's talking about the same event, okay? Matthew says that she came there at the end of the Sabbath. John is saying Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen Yeshua and that he had, and so above that, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the what? First day of the week. So she didn't see Messiah on the Sabbath, did she? So when she talked to John them, or when she's talking to the other brothers, this has to be what day? Sunday, the first day of the week. So they got it right there. Because she's talking to them, but she didn't see Messiah in the tomb. And she's telling them that saw him. But she didn't see him in the tomb, so when did she see him? She saw him on the first day. Right, so let's go get that. So we know that because we got to look at the context to make sure that they translated the verse correctly. Okay, so let's go back up. John chapter 20, yes, and I'm going to tell you what verse we're going to start at. Let's start in John chapter 1. And it says that the first day of the week cometh at Mary, right? So now let's go back into the Greek and see if day is actually there. Okay, so the first of the week. So they added day there, but if Matthew and John are going to line up, then we know that she couldn't have come early on the what, Sabbath? Okay, so this actually has to be the what, first day of the week? Okay, so their translation there would be week rather than the first day, but the first day of the week would be Sunday. So it's correct here. In this story, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet what? Unto the sepulcher and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulcher. So she's at the tomb while it's still what? Dark. The sun hasn't come up. Okay. And Messiah's not what? He's not there. Okay. Then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciples. Now, who told her to go tell them that? Because it's not recorded here. So who told her to go tell them? The angel's not even mentioned here, right? Okay. So we have to take both We have to take all of the, we have to take all of the, we have to take all of the versions and what, put them together? Because one is giving what they remember, and the other is giving what they remember. Okay. And we put them all together to come up with what actually went on. Okay. So the angels told her to go tell your brethren, right? Here we see her coming to tell her brethren. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Yeshua loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the what? Now, didn't the angel tell her he was risen? But what did she believe? Stolen. And we know not where they have what? Yes, it's laid him. Okay. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciples, and they came to the sepulcher. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. So whoever's going with Peter, they are running to the sepulcher, and the other disciple outruns Peter, right? And came first to the sepulcher, and he stooping in and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying, yet went he not in. So he looked into the sepulcher, he sees the linen cloth that Messiah had been wrapped in. He sees it laying there, but he didn't go into the tomb. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulcher, seeth the linen cloth lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So the linen cloth that had been wrapped around Messiah's head wasn't with the burial stuff. It was folded up. Like somebody got up and what, put it up? Then went in, and also the other disciple, which came first, to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must, what, rise again from the dead? So they really are actually thinking he's what? They think somebody stole him too. They just know he ain't there, and Mary Magdalene thinks that he has been stolen. And if they didn't know the scripture that he was to rise from the dead, then they think somebody stole him too. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. So Peter and his other disciples, they go home. Mary Magdalene, she's still at the tomb. What is she doing? She's crying. She's mourning. They done stole him. They done took his body. We don't know where he's at. And as she wept, she stood, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. And she sees what? In white sitting. The one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Yeshua had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, because they have taken away my Lord or my master, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned back herself and saw who? Saw Messiah standing there. And she didn't what? She didn't recognize him. Knew not that it was him. And knew not that it was Jesus. Yeshua said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Who are you looking for? She supposing him to be who? You got to read along with me, because it don't say rabbi there. Verse 15, the gardener. She's thinking he's the gardener in the what, cemetery? Saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, if you carried him somewhere, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will go take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, who? Rabboni, rabbi, teacher, say master. And Yeshua said unto her, what? for I am not yet what? But go do what? So I got to go and do some work. Don't touch me yet. Because when Thomas didn't believe, what did he tell Thomas? Stick your finger where? In his side and in his hand. Because he had already, what, ascended and did the work that he needed to do. But until that time, Mary saw him before he ascended. And he thought, hey, don't touch me. I got to go do this first. Okay, but she sees him. Do you think the gardener would have been at the tomb at nighttime? No. Okay, so she's seeing him actually the first day of the week. But she actually came to the tomb, her and another Mary, originally when? At the end of the Sabbath, as they begin to turn the first day of the week. Now she's there who? Does it say the other Mary's with her? At the what, tomb? The first angel that when she first came, that the everybody was afraid of, told him he's already what, risen? But she still thinks that he's what? Been stolen. She comes back. The other Mary didn't come with her. She comes back and says they have stolen his body. Then she goes and tells who? The disciples, that his body's been stolen. They run there and see it. They think the same thing. Even though he already told them that he's supposed to rise, he told them that I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. They still did not what? They didn't believe it. Okay, but what we have to understand is that they are being told this. The church is using that because Mary Magdalene saw him on the first day of the week. That's when he what? Rose. But with the scriptures tell us that he did it at the end of the Sabbath. He wouldn't violate Sabbath. But at the end of the Sabbath, right when it's getting ready to turn the end of the Sabbath, he comes out of the tomb. I can get out of here now. Okay, so they use the first day of the week. Now, even if, now let's do a what if, okay? We're going to play devil's advocate. Even if he came out of the tomb on the first day of the week, okay? Do we have any scriptures that tell us to change the Sabbath to the first day of the week? Not one. Not anywhere. So, and I'm playing devil's advocate. If the scripture said he came out of the tomb on the first day of the week, let's just say that it said that. We don't have an instruction anywhere that tells us it's a week. Not in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament, not in prophecy, not anywhere. Okay? Now, so we got to understand that we get this context because that word Sabbath can mean, it can also mean what, week? And it can mean what? The actual Sabbath day. So, again, this doctrine, let's look at some more things because we got to understand and we got to come to an understanding of what is actually there. Let's go to let's see. Go to what? Let's go to Acts chapter 2:46. Mm-hmm. And maybe I need to start before then. Hold on. Okay, let's go on verse 38. We'll know, we can find out what day this is, okay, being referred to here. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 38. And when you have it, you say amen. All right, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. Okay, now, what day is this? Pentecost. What day does Pentecost fall on? Sunday, the first day of the what? First day of the week. So this is the day that this is taking place on. And we can know that by what? Acts chapter 2, verses 1. So let's go back up there, and we're just going to read this. We're going to read down to that, okay? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. We know Pentecost is always on the first day of the week, always on a what? Sunday. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So we're going to make sure that's what, day hasn't changed? By the time that we get down to 2:30 and 8 where we were at? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were filled, where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. We talked about that on this morning, that these were all Jews from what, every nation? And also, who else talked about? The proselytes, the convertees, okay? And they were all amazed, and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and in Cappadocia, in Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya from Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of Elohim. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. The third hour of the day would be 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, what would be the third hour of the day in our time? Three o'clock in the what? In the morning. Is it is still what, night? Okay. But this is, these men, what, they're coming to see what's going on? You think they're going to be up at 3 a.m. in the morning? No. This is going on when the sun rises, okay? That's how they started their time. When the sun rises. So it's the third hour of the day when it's light, and the sun typically comes up at about 6, especially during this time of the year, time of Pentecost. And this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith Yah, saith Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable what? Day of what? Okay, now, I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. This is talking about, this is a two-part prophecy. Okay. Now, did the Most High come down? Did the Most High give his spirit to the apostles? He did. So that part of the prophecy came what? True. Now in verse 20, he says the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Before what day? Before it comes. So we got another sign that we're supposed to be, what, looking for? Okay, and that's going to be the signal that the day of the Lord has started. That's when Messiah is supposed to return. Can we see that? Or can we see that in the scripture? So it comes to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. So we see the start of this prophecy, and he tells us when the end of it is. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh from this day of Pentecost until when? Until you see the sun turn what? And the moon turn the color of what? Blood. Red, like blood. That's when this stops. This is when Messiah is going to come back. Until that time, people, mankind has an opportunity to enter into the what? Kingdom. Has an opportunity to what? Be saved. Because you got people saying that this has already happened, that it happened back in 70 AD. But it didn't happen in 70 AD. The second part. Now, you got brothers also that believe that we are not in the new covenant because this second part of this prophecy hadn't come true yet. But the Most High said that he was going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. He started doing that. But he tells us by the prophecy when it's going to end. So when is this age going to end? When we see the sun darken and the moon turn into the color of blood. Okay. Now, we are also told, I believe it's in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 24, Messiah also gives us some other clues, okay? Because his disciples ask him, when is the end of the what, age? His disciples ask him that. And what are the signs, right? So let's go get that. Take it for. If I'm remembering correctly. Okay. Yeah. Let's start in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Yeah, have a say amen. And for those of you who are listening online, again, you can only hear one side of this conversation with my external speaker. For whatever the reason, my computer doesn't want to recognize it, or don't want to connect to it. Matthew 24 and 1. Start reading in the scripture. Okay. And Yeshua went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. Because they were marveling at the temple. And Yeshua said unto them, see you not, all these shall not be left here, one stone upon another, that shall not be thrown down. You marveling at this building, but I'm telling you, this building is going to be what, torn down? And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Now, if they're coming to him privately, is he telling the masses this? He's only telling his disciples. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of what? So what's going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not what? For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not what? The end ain't yet. So you're going to hear these things. You're going to see these things. Don't be troubled. Don't get worried, because the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. This is race shall rise against what? And the kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes and diverse or different are the what? The beginning of sorrow. Now, this is, there's a lot of terrible things, right? Wars and rumors of wars. And nation coming against nation and race against race. But that's only the what? The beginning. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Wait a minute, how many of us want to be delivered up and killed? Yeah, I don't have to answer that. And you shall be hated of all nations for what? Because you're a Hebrew. If you ain't being hated because you believe in him and believe in keeping his laws, then you being hated for the wrong reason. For my name's sake, for his name, and doing what? The testimony of God and for his witness of his word? Okay. The testimony of Jesus, our Yeshua, and for the witness of the word of Elohim, the true witness of his word. And then shall many be what? And shall betray who? One another. And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There are going to be a lot of what? False prophets. And they're going to be coming with the doctrine of men. They're going to be making up stuff. And they're going to deceive many. Because iniquity shall what? Abound. Okay. Iniquity is what? Lawlessness. Iniquity is sin. So iniquity shall abound. Lawlessness shall abound. It's telling people they don't have to obey the laws of the Most High. Do you think it's going to get worse and worse? If you tell people they don't have to keep the laws of the Most High, do you think that more people are going to obey it? No. And this is in the what? End times. So we can't be expecting people to what? Keep his laws? But he says, iniquity shall abound. Okay. And the love of many shall wax cold. Because people want to do the right thing, but they're not being told what's right. And when they are told it, then they don't what? Believe it. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be what? You got to, and enduring means that you got to be doing the right thing. Now, just talking about surviving to the end. Talking about you walking and being in truth and enduring. Do your family talk good about you when you tell them you keep the laws, the commandments of the Most High? Do they try to make fun of you? Do they try to chastise you and say you and all kind of things, right? That is that iniquity. And look at you crazy. That is that iniquity that he's talking about. Okay, and that is that the love, because if you love me, you'll do what? You'll do what I say. You'll keep my commandments. But the love of many shall wax what? Cold. And the Most High says we show that we love people by keeping his commandments. So if they don't believe in keeping the commandments, then that's what he's saying. Their love will wax cold because they won't believe in keeping his own law. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then what happens? And then the end will come. That's why the true gospel has to be preached. Fear Elohim. That's what the scriptures say. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Let's see what the last messenger, with the last messenger, what his message is. Okay. Revelation chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And just say amen when you get there. Okay. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters. Many waters represents many people. And as the voice of a great what? Thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. The four beasts actually represent people, okay? And the elders. And no man could learn that song but who? Which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. Did it say this, these were virgin women? No, women. Listen to what I'm asking you. Did it say that these were virgin women? So the Most High ain't into gay stuff, is he? So these had to be who? Men. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are what? And so I had a brother tell me that the Most High was going to make men virgins again. I said, brother, once you done slept with a woman, you done gave that up. And Most High is not going to turn back and turn around and say, okay, you now a virgin again. That's your wishful thinking. Okay. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among who? Being the first fruit unto Elohim and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of Elohim. Now, verse 6, he says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven. An angel is a what? It's a messenger. So go click on your Greek version of that. And look and see what word is used for angel. Angelos, and what is the definition? That's the Greek word from angelos. A what? So when we see angel, we always assume that it's what? One of the heavenly angels? But does that word actually mean that? It just means messenger. Okay. And the messenger can be a what? Pastor? Because pastors are supposed to bring what? Messages? Okay. So a lot of times when we see this, because of the way it's written, we automatically assume that it's what, heavenly angel? That ain't always true. Okay, and when I, you know, take you to like Revelation chapter 22, he tells you, I'm of your what, fellow servants? Of the prophets? But he says that he was a what? Angel. He was a messenger. Okay, so this, what's the message of the messenger in the last day? Read it in Revelation starting in 14, starting in verse 6. And I saw another, can I say messenger, and you be comfortable with it, fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell where? So have we seen any angels? Have you ever seen an angel flying around talking about, so this is showing us and telling us, either we have not ever heard this gospel, this last messenger, or there's got to be an angel that's come that's going to be flying in the heavens, preaching the what, gospel? Okay. And to every nation and every kindred and tongue and people, saying to do what? With a loud voice, to do what? Fear Elohim. For the hour of his judgment is what? Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. So this messenger here, this angel, the messenger to what? To fear Elohim. That's the message. Because this is what men have gotten away from. They don't really fear the Most High. Does he say all of this book to fear him? Right. And men forgot to fear him. They refused to fear him. The last message to go out before the end comes is to call men to repentance and to fear Elohim. He's trying to get them to come back, what? Correct to him? That's the message in these last days. That's the message that will go out until he returns. To fear him. Now look at verse 8. And there followed another angel, another messenger, right? Saying Babylon is fallen. Confusion is fallen. That great city. Because she made all the nations to drink of the wine of her wrath and her fornication. And the third angel followed them. So we got three messengers here. Saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of what? Poured out without what? Does it say measure? Without mixture. Into the cup of his what? Indignation. I'm not mixing my anger with what? Anything. You about to see just what I do when I get what? Angry. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy messengers, the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up how long? And ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So we're being told that there's a time coming that people, their love is going to wax cold. They're going to become what, more lawless. And then we should start looking for these things. We should start looking for the wrath of Elohim to come. He said, but the sign to us is when we see the sun go what? Dark. And the moon turned into blood. Now, there is a time that happens. And we should look for it every time we should see it. But you know when that happens? During an eclipse, and a total eclipse. Okay. So that could also be what? Another sign that this is going to happen during an eclipse. But the Most High says when he returns, Messiah said that we're going to see him in the clouds and coming in the sky. And he's going to be the light. But that's another story, another lesson of what? Men? Because this is what the Most High said, that this is what's going to cause people not to enter into his kingdom, believing false doctrines, not following after what he says, doing what men say to do. I just had a brother in my house telling me that there was no such thing as sin. I'm like, really? I said, you said God gives laws. I said, so if you break his law, what is that called? Well, he didn't want to say sin. He wanted to say it's a trespass. I said, and if you trespass, what does that mean? That you're not obeying. I said, so if you don't obey, then what is supposed to happen to you? Because you're supposed to die. But we got people who are teaching things and saying things that clearly their understanding is not coming from the scriptures. And they're coming from their own mind. And then when they're reading the scriptures, because for whatever the reason, they're not allowed to see it. So we just got to understand that that is what's coming, that is what's here. And the word, you know, of Most High is so simple. Just obey me. All you got to do is obey me, and you will find life. But if you don't do it, then, you know, people want to feel like there's no consequence. So these are false doctrines. These are the doctrines of men. And Messiah said, you by your false doctrine, you by following the traditions of men, do what? Trespass the commandments of the Most High? So we don't want to make sure that we stay away from that. We want to make sure, and we see that the first day of the week, in some instances, is correct, and in some instances, is what? It's incorrect. So we have to look at the context. But they have translated it that way because there's an agenda. We don't want you keeping Sabbath. We want you worshiping when? On Sunday, the first day of the week. But the Most High said that, oh, let me find this so you can see it for yourself. You know, I don't like you saying Brother Miles said nothing that you can't see in the scripture yourself. Let's look up the word covenant. And we want to search the whole Bible. Yeah. So do you think the covenant with 292 matches and 272 verses is important? Okay. Now I want to show us something. Because there's different covenant that when you read those, and if you read those verses like that, then you will find out that the Most High has many different covenants that he's made on the earth, okay? Okay, but I want us to show us that there is a covenant for the Sabbath, okay? And I think I need to go into Exodus 31. But I say, do your own search on the covenant. So you can see that he had a covenant with Abraham. He had a covenant with the earth. He's got many times the Most High enters into a contract, okay? And what he's saying is, I keep my end of the what? Of the covenant, the contract, all right? But let's look and see if the Sabbath is a perpetual covenant, okay? Exodus chapter 31 and verse 6. Children of Israel shall keep the what? Right? And I'm sorry, in 16. I said 16. Now keep me straight. Exodus 31 and 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the what? To observe the Sabbath throughout their what? For how long? What does that word perpetual mean? Forever, always. If the Sabbath is a perpetual covenant within itself, He's outside of the other covenant. Verse 17. If you keep the Sabbath, a perpetual covenant, what does he say in verse 17? It is a sign between me and who? For how long? So if he gives them a new covenant, do you think he's going to change the Sabbath? And he tells them why. For in 6 days, Yah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Covenant, the Sabbath, existed before he gave it to Israel. Then he gave Israel a covenant. And he says to remember what? The Sabbath. But this was already a perpetual what? Covenant. And they were supposed to remember it forever. Yes, ma'am. No. First law that he gave us was, don't you have any other God before me? The Sabbath existed, and even the laws of the Most High existed, but he had not given them to men. So when a lot of people say that the laws were in the garden, the Most High only gave Adam and Eve one law. Right. Well, you don't even know if it was an apple. Not to eat off that tree. That's the only law they had. Who was Adam going to fornicate with? Who was Adam going to commit adultery against? Right. It's just him and her, right? So, I'll teach this lesson. I think there's probably a need to teach it. And we're not going to go with what men say, okay? We're going to go with what the scriptures say. Because there was no law before then. He did not, where there is no law, there is no what? There's no sin. There's no transgression. Okay? So he gave Adam and Eve one law. He said, don't eat from that tree. But he didn't give the law to the rest of mankind. So I'm going to show you that in the scriptures. He says there wasn't a law until he gave it to most people. Meaning that the law existed, but he had not given it to them. And if I haven't given it to them, then I can't hold them what? Accountable for it. That's why Messiah, when you read in the scriptures, he went back to everybody before the flood and gave them the gospel. Now, how he did that and what he did and what he told them, that's between him and the Most High and those people. And what the Most High plans to do with those people, that's in the Most High, that's in his domain. Because he killed them. Because he said their thoughts were what? Continually what? Evil. And he killed them. But he says, you know what? They weren't really up under the law. But I killed them anyway. Now I'm going to send Messiah back to testify to them. That's in his wheelhouse. Brother Miles don't have a dog in that race. Only thing I know is that we have his law. And we are accountable to it. So I'm gonna do that lesson when I get when he allows me to get off this one that we're on to show you that there was no law back then. The only Abraham obeyed the commandments of the Most High that he was what? Did the Most High tell Abraham to do something? You're talking about a few things, right? Do we have that Abraham had all of the law of the Most High? We don't have that. But Abraham was given some what? Commandments? I want you to do this. Leave your father, leave your land, right? do this and do that. Abraham did what? He obeyed. Okay. And that's what does the Most High ask us to do? To obey what? Obey his voice. So Abraham obeyed what the Most High told him to do. Said that he obeyed my what? Commands. But people want to take that as what? The entire law? When he didn't have the entire law. Yeah, what he did what the Most High asked him to do, okay? And what the Most High asked you to do, is it a request or is it a command? Command. It's not a suggestion. Command. So he was obedient. With that being said, we are past the hour by a few minutes. We will... Yeah, it does. You know, and a lot of people don't like that I do two-hour lessons, but, you know, it is what it is. I do, too, because it goes by too fast. If it was an hour, some of these lessons, I'd be having to do 30 lessons. Try to get across that point when, you know, it takes time to develop these things, so put it at a level where people can get it. And we read it in the Word so that they don't say Brother Miles said. So I love it. And it's my time also to die in his Word. So, you know, it is what it is, and so let it be. Right. And, I'm not trying to. You know, I'm not trying to. It is what it is. I told people I'm not looking for numbers. And if I'm in the numbers, then I would start questioning according to the scripture. Wait a minute. Why so many people following after what I'm saying? Because he tells us, you know, I believe it. He says what? That there are many who, very few people find the straight and narrow gate. So if you with the masses, then you got to figure you're in the wrong group. That's just my logic, okay? That's my logic. If I'm in with the masses, I'm probably in with the wrong group because he says they ain't gonna find it. So that's the bottom line. Anyway, love you, sisters. Let us pray out, and then I gotta go look at these plants because today and that water evaporates out of there, and they're big and thick, so they drink a lot of water, and it's gonna fall down. All right, that being said, may the Most High bless you. It's chilly, like what, 30 degrees, 40? Well, that's not too much better. It is 97 degrees right now here, 97 degrees. Yep, it'll be 100 by Sunday. And, you know, once it comes, it don't leave until it's over for that season. So summer is here for us. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. What? Oh, I am praying out. All right. Father Yah, we come before you, Father, and we ask and we praise your holy name. We ask that you would give us for your people to have, that we would hear your voice and that we would always obey, and that we would keep your covenant that you have given us, that you have said are perpetual. Your Sabbath days, your feast days, your holy days, they are yours. He said that we should keep them and that you hate our feast days. They become our feast days when we do what we want to do on them and not what you have commanded. And so, Father, we thank you for giving us a heart and a mind to keep your word as you have had it written, that we don't come up with our own understanding. That you bring us into your perfect will. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen. and amen. All right, with that being said, you ain't pray out. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen, because it's my continual prayer for you all. Till we meet again, remember, I love you, I really do, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Shalom, my sisters. Peace and blessings. And now it's time to roll the credits. Guys, Tuesday. All right, amen.